Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Aaron Shafawalif, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we were talking about priesthood authority, and Aaron, you kind of took it and ran with it, showing the pattern that Jesus set when he did things by the power of his word. We never hear Jesus say anything to the effect, by the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood, I do this.
In fact, neither do you find a single reference in the Gospels to Jesus laying his hands on the apostles to authorize them in any fashion.
I want to read you a quote that was in the Church News, November 10th, 2007, page 16. It was an article titled, Priesthood Authority. It says, "The priesthood is the eternal power and authority of God through which he created the heavens and the earth and by which he governs the same. It is used to redeem and eventually exalt his children. As given immortality, the priesthood is the power and authority to act in God's name. By and through it, one is authorized to preach the gospel, administer the ordinances, and govern in the church." What do you say about that?
It's really important to understand that in Mormonism, priesthood isn't a product of God. Rather, God himself is a product of the priesthood. Or put another way, in Mormonism, priesthood is bigger than God himself. It is the system under which the genealogy of the gods are governed and ordered and enabled. So when Mormonism talks about tapping into this priesthood system, it's a priesthood system that predates God's own exaltation. It's something we submit to, and it's something God submits to, and it's something Heavenly Grandfather submits to. It's the way the universe works, as it were, in Mormonism.
We should probably explain to some listeners who just did not understand the concept that you just gave, because in Mormonism, they do not believe that the one they worship now, Heavenly Father, is the primary cause of all things. He is the offspring of a deity that came on the scene before him, and in turn, that deity is the offspring of another deity that preceded him in time, going clear back into eternity past. We don't know who the first God is, according to Mormonism, but we know this. It's not the one they're worshiping now.
Right. Okay. Especially if they're in accordance with what their leaders have taught.
Right.
I like to say it this way. I like to tell my wife, Stacy, you make the best manicotti and the best roast beef sandwiches in the entire universe for me. She's not the best cook in the universe. There are better cooks than my wife. And when my son,
I'm hoping she would admit that. Is that what you're trying to get across?
The point is that we use superlatives that are exaggerative, that are exaggerations.
Hyperbole.
We use hyperbole. We go over the top. But when Christians speak of God being the Most High, we're not doing that. We're being literal. We're being absolute. He really is the Most High. There's no more high than the Most High. But when Mormons adopt this traditional language of theism and they say God is the only God or the best or the Most High, there's this implicit or later explicit qualifier of for us or for this planet or for this generation of spirit children or this section of the genealogy of the gods. So the big picture here is that priesthood is considered something that governs this genealogy of the gods. It's bigger than God himself. This is really important. So think about this. It's just part of the big picture. If, instead of Mormonism, we have a God who is actually and absolutely ultimate, then it it makes less sense for God himself to operate by a larger system of priesthood, and more sense that God would operate with effortless, raw power, with the flick of a finger, or as Hebrews 1:3 puts it, by the word of his power. So the sense here, if God is really ultimate, if God is the Most High, we ought not expect him to operate by some larger system. Rather, he himself is the system. He himself is the ultimate source of power and authority. So what he can do effortlessly. And so it's so appropriate that God would do things and create. This has implications for how we view forgiveness, the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the local church or the preaching of the gospel, everything. It also puts the focus rightly on belief in the word of God himself, belief in the power and the promises and the person of Jesus Christ. Why? God creates by the word of his power, the effortless, raw word of his power, not by a larger system of priesthood, but by God's own intrinsic, effortless power. He sustains by the word of his power in the Bible. He creates by the word of his power. He heals by the word of his power. He casts out spirits by the word of his power. He forgives by the word of his power. He gives people new names by the word of his power. He resurrects Lazarus, come forth, by the word of his power. He authorizes by the word of his power. Go, preach, teach, baptize. He commissions ultimately by the effortless, raw word of his power. This is always consistent with his own character, but he's never beholden to a system that's bigger than himself. So we usually think about grace and the gospel as a set of dichotomies. We don't earn God's favor, rather we receive God's free favor. We don't reach up to God, God reaches down to us. We ought not be working to please God, as though we could do that to be right with him. Rather, God has worked to save us. Man needs to atone for his own sins, but he can't. So we look to the finished work of Jesus on the cross. So these dichotomies, the not this, but this kind of thing, those are powerful, those are proper. Think about the gospel of grace for a second as simply an issue of authority. Does Jesus Christ have the authority with the mere words of his mouth to immediately forgive your sins? That is liberating. You have zero good reasons to be afraid of any religious system that would keep you from this freedom. And I just want you to think about the gospel in terms of authority. Because Jesus has the authority to heal, to create, to sustain, to resurrect, to cast out spirits, to commission, to authorize, and to forgive by the mere word of his power, a mere word, you can believe the promise of Jesus Christ that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So if somebody says to you, hey, you need to be a part of our church and be a part of our authority structure and our hierarchy and our priesthood system, you need to ask him, but Jesus told me my sins were forgiven through his word, the Bible. Jesus told me that I am authorized by him himself directly to go to preach, to teach, to baptize, even to pray for healing, you know, in the authority of Jesus' name. This isn't about a system of priesthood. This is about Jesus Christ, the final high priest, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There's something powerful about the direct authorization of Jesus to his people. Jesus gets more honor and Jesus gets more glory. We get to see him as bigger and better and more authoritative when his mere words accomplish the spread of the kingdom, the forgiveness of sins, the going forth. Anyway, that I'm just sermonizing here. It's a devotional of sorts, but I want people to think about Mormonism versus Christianity for a second, and simply in simple terms of authority.
Of all those things that you brought out, what is the one thing that you would like to see a Latter-day Saint take away from what you just said?
They can circumvent the entire system of Mormon priesthood and go straight to Jesus because his words are enough. His words are enough. It's so powerful to me, like I said last time, when Jesus tells the demons, go, one word is enough. And when the centurion came to Jesus and said, I'm a man under authority, I'm a man in authority, I have servants, and I tell them come, and they come. I tell them go, and they go. So, Master, say the word. And Jesus says, wow, you get it. You understand the true nature of authority. There's no appeal to priesthood here. No. Jesus says, go home. Your son will be healed. And so when Jesus authorizes his apostles, he says, go. I've got all authority.
So when the Mormon church comes along and they say, no, sorry, the only way that you could ever hope for forgiveness is by doing it our way, what are they in essence are doing? They are undermining the authority of Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. They might say that Jesus gave them that authority. Well, we have no New Testament evidence of this. It all goes back to what? It goes back to Joseph Smith. It all goes back to the founder of Mormonism. And folks, if you're going to be undermining the words of Jesus, you've got problems. You've got problems. That's our message to the LDS people, because they are trusting in men who have actually attempted to undermine the authoritative word of the God of the universe.
An 8-year-old boy with the words of Jesus on his mouth on the north gate of Temple Square has infinite more authority at his disposal than any prophet or apostle of the LDS Church.
Mm. Those are good words. And I tell you, that's a message that we have for the LDS people, because we want them to find rest in Christ. And sadly, we find in talking to many Latter-day Saints that this so-called priesthood authority that they put their trust in actually robs them of that rest.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.